All right, so we've been in this series for a while, talking about knowing everything that we have in Christ Jesus and living a life that is full in Him, right? The Bible says that when we come to knowledge and understanding of Him, meaning we put our faith and our trust in Him, and we call Him Lord and Savior of our life, we repent of our sins. When we do that, the Bible says the full Spirit of God lives inside of you in that moment. So you don't earn the Spirit of God. It doesn't come more and more every day. It's fully in you. You just have to learn how to respond. We just have to learn how to respond to the Spirit of God in us and activate that Spirit. Amen? And so we've been talking about what that looks like and how we activate the full Spirit of God in our lives, right? And how that God has a full and complete destiny for us and how we ought to live a life full in Him, right? If He has this awesome plan for you, and you just have this kind of mediocre plan for yourself, wouldn't you want that amazing plan that He has? And so God has given us the fullness of Himself inside of us, but it's up to us to activate it. So we've been speaking about that. Last week, Pastor Seth came in and preached a great message on prayer, talking about how when we communicate with God, it really grows and develops that oneness with Him, right? If we want to know what we have in Him, we have to actually know Him, right? And prayer is one of those ways that we dive into knowing who He is and knowing what He says about us and what He speaks to us, right? We also have the Bible, but we can pray as we're reading the Bible and He starts to speak to us and He starts to show us who He is, reveal Himself to us, right? And so the more we know who He is, the more we search after Jesus and His heart for us, the more we become like Him. It's not about, Christianity is not about us working harder and doing more things. Right? We got plenty of things to do, I'm sure. But it's about our relationship with Jesus. The more we come to know Jesus, the more we look like Him. Right? The more you hang out with certain people, probably the more you act like them. Or start to dress like them. Start to look like them. Do your hair that way. Right? In the same way, when we have a relationship with Jesus, the more we know Him, the more we start to look like Him. The more we start to act like Him. And it's His power working inside of us, okay? So today we're going to change the focus a little bit from prayer, and we're going to talk about courage. Yeah. Amen. Let's go home. Courage. See, God wants us to live a life full in Him. He has a plan and a destiny for you, but it takes you activating and stepping out in faith and being courageous enough to go to those hard places, to see those places in your life, right? To step out and to be more like Him and less like ourselves, right? But that takes courage. So we're going to talk about courage. This is one of my favorite passages about courage in the Bible. It's pretty stinking awesome. It's just kind of hidden in there. I've spoken on this before, but I love it. I always come back to it. It always reminds me so much of being a man of courage. And so we're going to look at 2 Samuel. Get out your Bibles if you got them. 2 Samuel, chapter 23, verse 20. You guys got your Bibles? All right, you tell me then. What's 2 Samuel 23, 20? Cool, all right. That's awesome. Yes, the Word of God is written on our hearts. But we also have to be reminded of it, right? So here it is, 2 Samuel 23, verse 20. Are you there?
Yeah.
Awesome. There was also Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel. He did many heroic deeds, and included killing two champions of Moab, or two of their main warriors, two champions. Another time, on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit and killed it. Gonna come back to that. Once, armed with a club, he killed a great Egyptian warrior who was armed with a spear. Benaiah wrenched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with it. Deeds like these made Benaiah as famous as the three mightiest warriors. He was more honored than the other members of the 30, though he was not one of the three, and David made him captain of his bodyguard. Let's pray, and then we'll dive into it. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that you are speaking to us constantly and consistently. God, help us to hear your voice and hear your heart tonight. God, help us to walk in the fullness of what you've created us to be. God, we thank you that you intricately designed each one of us, knowing who we would be, how we would act, knowing our personality, placing it inside of us, and having a destiny and a plan for each one of us. Lord, we love you and we honor you. Help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we got this story of Benaiah. It's a sweet name. Anybody know a Benaiah? Cool. Short for Benaiah. Definitely. Call him that from here on out. Benaiah was one of King David's mighty men. That's what they called him, his mighty men. So David, we've learned about David. David was a warrior. He was a king. Right? Awesome man of God, and had this great army. People who followed him, who would die for him. But he had specifically these 30 men who completely had his back. These were like the main dudes. It'd be like The Rock and Vin Diesel and John Cena, like the big dudes, right? That are just ready to go to battle. These guys were not just great warriors, but they were super loyal to David. They loved him. They cared for him. They do anything for him, right? And so out of the 30, there was the top three who are the main guys. And Benaiah was not even one of the three. He was probably the fourth. It seems like he was the next man up. In case one of them died, then he'd be coming in there, right? He was an awesome warrior. And they give just a little snippet of Benaiah in his life. Not a huge Bible character, but there's some things that really stand out. And here about the character of this guy, Benaiah, right? He loved David. He loved the people of Israel, and he would protect them with everything that he had. And so it shows a couple stories about him. First of all, he takes on a couple champions from Moab, and then he takes on this big Egyptian dude with a club. So he's got like a stick in his hand, this little billy club, right? Nothing big, nothing like Thor's hammer, you know, it's just a little club. But this guy has a big giant spear and he's ready to kill him, but somehow he dodges it, goes around. It doesn't even say that he hit him with the club. He probably threw the club up in the air, had him look at it, and then tackled him down, took the spear and stabbed him with it. Right? Dude was a warrior, he's fearless. Maybe a little reckless, but fearless. And full of courage. And then the next one, and this was the main thing that I want to speak on, that I love about this, it just kind of throws it in there. It's just kind of subtly in here. You could probably read past it. And it says this. Another time on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit and killed him. Love how it's worded. Just another day, he's walking by, it's snowing outside. He sees a pit, he sees a lion, he goes in the pit. He goes, oh, a lion in a pit, I'm going to go after him and kill him. Are you kidding me? Like, this is crazy to think of. First of all, it's a lion, right? Second of all, it's snowing outside. What is a lion doing out in the snow, first of all? But it's snowing, meaning it's white out. It's hard to see around you, right? And this is back in the old days. They don't have our nice, like, Sorel boots or bunny boots and, like, camo white gear out there in the snow ready for just waiting for a lion to come after him, right? He probably has, like, a little loincloth that he's wearing. And he runs out there. It doesn't even say what he has in his hand, right? He might have a stick. He might have that same little club. He might have a spear. He probably had a spear. Might have a sword. He might just have a shield. But it wasn't like he had a grenade that he could just snap off and just throw and chuck inside of the hole and it blow up. Right? He had to go inside of this pit. Now that's ridiculous. All right? This is a lion. Have you ever seen a cat? Have you ever seen a ferocious cat? Okay, so I was house sitting one day with a buddy of mine, and there was this terrifyingly ferocious cat that made sounds like that. And it was just a terrible pet. I don't know why anybody had him as a pet. It was horrible. And so it would always bat at you and hiss at you and run at you. And so I got a little bit of courage one day. And for some reason, the lights were off. I didn't turn them on. That would have been smarter. But I climbed up the stairs, and I'm like on my hands and knees. My buddy's down the stairs. He's like, yeah, do it, do it, do it. So I'm going up to the top, and I'm just reaching out, reaching around, knowing the cat's up there somewhere, right? So I'm just reaching for him. It's pretty smart of me, I know. I'm reaching around, and then this cat just comes out of nowhere and just, like, clings on me and starts, like, scratching the heck out of me. Oh, like, screaming like a little girl. I turned and I ran down the stairs, and my buddy's chasing down, too, laughing as hard as he could. And this cat just, like, scratched me, all right? I was full of fear, and it was a cat. Like, it was not that big. It was, like, this big, but it terrified me. It was vicious. It was way bigger. It was a lion. No, it was a little cat. But I was full of fear. This guy was going in after a lion, not a cat, on a snowy day. Just love how he puts it like that. It might have been dark. Dark and snowy. It's a pit. It's a pit. It's a hole. This thing, he's going in after this ferocious animal that rips people's hearts out and eats them. Probably. Right? Lions are nothing to mess with. They're the king of the jungle for a reason. That is a lion, right? Cool. Right? They're vicious. But he goes in after it. Not only does he go after a lion to kill him, but he goes in the lion's home. Goes in a place where he's not comfortable. He's completely vulnerable. It's not like he intrigues the lion to come to the army and the army like kills it together. Right? It's not like he called all of his boys, the other 29, and say, hey, wait out here for me. I'm going in. If I start screaming, come in after me. Right? He doesn't have a backup plan. He doesn't really have a very smart plan. But he goes in after it. He goes to the place where he's most vulnerable because he was a man of courage. He was willing to go to those places knowing that there could be risk, knowing that a vicious lion could bite his head off, but having the courage and the faith to go in there with whatever little tool that he had and kill that lion. See, I believe God has called us to do the same thing, that each one of us should go find a snowy pit and go after a lion. Are you with me? You're like, no, that's ridiculous. But in a different way, I believe God wants us to take courage to go to places that are difficult to us, that are outside of our comfort zone. Right? It wasn't in his own home where he was comfortable, where he had a trap waiting for him. Right? Where he had somebody else that had his back. He went into the place that was unknown, having courage, finding strength within himself to go after it. Now, obviously, I don't want you to go after lions in the middle of winter. I don't think there are any around. But summertime for sure. Go. Do it. Go to the zoo. Jump in the cage. It's perfect. It's perfect. But see, God calls us as men and women of God to be courageous, to go after those areas that seem unknown, that seem insecure to us, right? The places that we feel most vulnerable, right? Courage isn't going to a place where you're comfortable, right? Courage looks differently to each person. Some people, it's super easy to go up to a random person and strike up a conversation. So it doesn't take courage to do that. But can everybody in this room do that? Is anybody introverted and does not like meeting brand new people for the first time and going out of their way and just shaking hands? I don't believe that. Right? Some of us, that's terrifying. So it takes courage to go after that. Right? Courage. And I want us to look at the word courage. Courage in the Hebrew literally means this, to show oneself strong. to show oneself strong, to find that strength within oneself and to take a step forward, to be strong in that. He found strength knowing he was a great warrior, that he would go in even though he was vulnerable, even though he didn't know what was inside that pit most likely, probably didn't hang around the pits all the time, right? But he went in after it, having courage, finding strength within himself to go after it. And so for us, having courage, meaning finding strength within ourselves to do the things that we believe God has called us to do, not to recklessly go around into pits looking for animals, but to do the things that might be a little bit fearful for us, right? Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage goes through fear. Even in the midst of fear, courage attacks. Courage goes forward. Courage takes a step and believing that God has your back, that God is with you. That's courage, is taking a step forward. So courage is also a quality of the mind. It's knowing in your mind that you are strong, that you can overcome, that you can take that step, that you can go into that pit, that you can go into those vulnerable areas. It's a state of mind. Courage is not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not one of the fruits that God gives us when he gives us the Spirit inside of us. He does not give us courage. However, Christ's Spirit is inside of us, and we know when we admit that we're weak, he can be strong inside of us. So he is our strength. But courage is on us to take a step. Right? We can live in fear and stay in fear, or we can take a step of courage and walk out of that, right? The Bible says that he did not give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and a sound mind, right? Having courage is that power and that sound mind to take a step forward, believing in faith that God has you. We're going to look at some other chapters right here. Look in Joshua 1, Joshua 1 verse 6. You turn there if you want to. You don't have to. But this is about Joshua. Now, Joshua was just about to take over all of the Israelites, right? Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt. And now Joshua was to take them into the promised land. So he had just become leader. And God tells him this. Speaks to him, chapter 1, verse 9. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. And this is the key part right here. And this is what we need to know. Is for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's saying you have to take the step of courage to be courageous. He doesn't say try to be courageous. He says be courageous or take a step of courage. And know that I'm with you. See, we have courage because we know that God is with us. We know that he never leaves us, but we have to stand on his promises, right? We have to be firm in what we believe God is doing in us and that God has our best interests in mind and that God is going to finish the good work that he started inside of us, right? And that God has a plan that is for you to prosper you and not to harm you, right? We know those things, but we have to actually stand firm on it and take a step out. And that's our step of courage. He says, be strong and be courageous because you know that I'm with you. Because you know that I'm not leaving you, I'm going into that pit with you, I'm going to be with you the whole time, right? I have your back. It's knowing that God has your best interest in mind so you can go to the vulnerable places. We'll switch over to 1 Chronicles 28:20. Then David continued, and he's talking to his son Solomon. He's about to pass on the kingdom to Solomon. And he had been king for years, and God had always been faithful to him. And so he says this to Solomon. He said, then David continued, be strong and courageous and do the work. Be strong and courageous and do it. Right? We have the ability to be strong and to be courageous, but we have to be the ones to actually act upon it. You have to act upon your courage. You have to see the areas in your life that you're weak, you're vulnerable, you haven't given to the Lord, you haven't grown in, right? Areas that He can use you better, that you haven't walked in. It's being courageous to go to those places. So be strong and be courageous. Do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. And now the other main scripture I want to use here is John 16:33. Now Jesus is about to depart. He's about to die. And He's telling His disciples that I'm going to go. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to die. You guys aren't going to have me around here anymore. And so these are some of what He says in His last moments to them. He says this, John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you can have peace. In the world you will, say will, you will have tribulation or hard times, difficult times. But take courage, for I have overcome the world. See, Jesus even tells us, take courage. Jesus even tells us we have to be men and women of courage. That we have to be courageous. We have to be willing to go out on a limb. We have to be willing to go to the places that aren't comfortable. We have to be willing to go out and to pray for somebody and lay hands on somebody. We have to be willing to look into our own lives and see the junk inside of it and allow God to start cleansing us out. We have to be willing to go to those places. And He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to have difficult times. You're going to lose people in your life, right? You're going to go through a difficult situation, many difficult situations that are going to cause you grief and discomfort, that are going to cause you anger. People that are going to hurt you and put you down. There's going to be trials and tribulations in your life. But He says, be courageous. Take courage. For I have overcome the world. When we set our mind on that, again, courage is a state of mind. When we set our mind on the fact that Jesus has already overcome the world, meaning He's already overcome your situation, your struggle, when we fix our eyes on that, we can take courage that He is bigger than our problem, that He can overcome our problem, that He can take us through it. That He hasn't left us, that He hasn't walked away, but that He's still there and He's still with you, pulling you along. Take courage. Take courage in Him. That's the title of my message. Take courage in Him. We need to take courage. It's in front of you, right? We all have courage. It's not for some people. We kind of look at it, I think, sometimes that some people are just more courageous. I think we think more like adventurous people are more courageous. Maybe they're just more reckless. A little more crazy. Right? The courageous people aren't only the ones that do triple backflips off their dirt bikes. Right? That's crazy. A little courageous. Right? Courage can look differently to so many people. All of us, courage is different. You might be very courageous and adventurous. You might be very courageous in the way that you communicate to people and talk to people. You might be so courageous that you preach the gospel on the streets constantly. But there's still areas in our lives that we all need to grow in courage. And so each one of us, it looks a little bit different in how that courage is. But God has called each one of us to have courage, to know that God is with us, to know that He's overcome your situation. Let's look in 1 John 4:4. It says, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit that lives in the world. When we know, when we walk in confidence that the spirit of God is strong inside of us, we start to be more courageous. Right? When you're confident in something, you have more courage. You know, when I was younger, I was like junior high, high school, I was pretty skinny. I'm still pretty skinny, but I was even skinnier. you can picture that. I was teeny, right? And so I made friends with all the big kids because I knew they'd have my back. So I was really nice to them, you know, and those would be my boys. And so then I would just go up to other people and just start making fun of them, start talking trash. And I'd be like, yo, get them. And then I'd point to my boys and then they'd help me out. Right? I had a little more confidence because I had big dudes next to me. Now, if they weren't next to me and I was talking trash to those guys, I'd be done. They could just crush me in a moment. So I wouldn't talk trash to those people when my friends weren't around. Right? I had more courage because I had more confidence in the people that were around me. When we're confident, we have more courage. When you have people around you, you're probably more confident when you walk around. Right? When you're around people you don't know, you're probably more confident because you know some people with you. You're probably a little less confident when it's just you out there. By yourself, nobody else you know around you, in China where they don't speak English. Actually, I think a lot of them do. I like that. That's nice. Or they just pretend to not speak English. Right? You're more comfortable when you have people around you. You're more comfortable when you have confidence and you're more likely to take steps of courage. Well, it's the same thing in our relationship with Jesus. The more confident we are in Him, the more confidence we have in what He does for us and that He's with us, that He doesn't leave us. When we've built that foundation and that relationship with Him and we've gone through difficult situations and we've overcome them, we're more confident to take courage, right? To take steps of courage. We have more confidence in Him. And that's where our courage should come from. Not from ourselves. Worldliness, courage comes from ourselves, right? Benaiah, it probably came a little bit from himself. He's probably a giant dude. But see, our courage needs to come from Jesus, knowing that He has already overcome the world, knowing that He has overcome your situation, that your situation is not too big for Him. And when we walk around in confidence of that, we start walking in courage. But God wants us to look at the areas, I believe, of our life that we need to grow in our confidence. I want us to look at the pits of our life. Again, everybody's is going to be different. We could be very courageous in one area and super weak in another. But see, God wants to grow us, and He has this plan and this destiny for us that is beyond what we can imagine. And that means we have to look at those areas of our life and take courage, right? And start walking in confidence in them. God wants us to be full in Him. He doesn't want us to have these areas that we're not willing to go to. Are you with me? Yes? All right. So pits. What are the pits? What are some of the pits that we need to take courage in? Not our armpits or knee pits. What are some areas that we need to grow in? And some of you, again, we're all going to be different. But one of them, I believe, is loving people. Some of us, it's super easy to love people. You're just genuinely happy and you like to meet new people and you love everybody. You have a big optimistic attitude and you just love everyone. Josiah. Just like that. That's why I named my son after you. His middle name is Josiah. It's really not after you, but it could be. His middle name is Cohen Josiah. It's for you. Right? Some people, it's super easy for us to connect with people and connect relationally, but others, it's hard for us to let other people in. And it's hard for us to genuinely love somebody else because that means you have to be there when they go through something. That means you have to stick with them when they're being a D-bag to you. Said it. A tea bag. Not a tea bag. I'll explain it later. A dirt bag. Right? Loving people means you have to actually open your heart up to someone and let them inside. Right? And that means also you want them to open their heart up to you so you can know the depths of what's going on in their life. We need to grow. A lot of us need to take a step of courage to actually opening ourselves up to people. Being vulnerable in front of someone. Allowing ourselves to actually love and care for somebody. Right? Learning to love people. Another one is learning to love people again. taking steps of courage to love somebody again, when you've had a broken relationship, when you have had somebody that's hurt you or abandoned you, we naturally start to put up walls and keep people out, right? We don't want to go to those places because it's vulnerable. It's hard. Somebody might actually hurt us again. But see, maybe for you, it's taking a step of courage and going back to those places and allowing people in your heart, allowing yourself to love other people, whether or not you're hurt in the process. Right? We're going to go through hard situations. We're going to have difficult times. We're going to have broken relationships. But are we still willing to love people? Are we still willing to get hurt again in order to love somebody else? Are we trading our life to love somebody and invest in someone else? Or are we trading our life only for ourselves? Taking courage is seeing that need and seeing that I'm kind of struggling in this area. I only live for myself naturally, but I want to start loving people. And courage is taking that step towards it and saying, I know that God is going to grow me in this. I know that God is going to bring me comfort. I know God is going to allow me to feel and allow me to actually be vulnerable with these people. So taking a step to love somebody again. Some of us, it is sharing our faith, being willing to share who you genuinely are. When you have a transformation in your life and Jesus comes inside of you, he has made you a new person. But are we living that way? Or is there that constant struggle going back and forth? Right? And so God wants us to take a step of courage and believe. I totally forgot what I was talking about. To share our faith with people, right? To share our hearts, to be open, to be vulnerable, to share what God has done in us, not being afraid of how somebody's going to respond. Some of us has taken courage to share our faith, courage to do something that seems so extreme in our life. Some of you, it's just courage to make a commitment. So uncommitted, so all over the place because it's easier. You don't have to nail something down. You don't have to make an appointment. I do this a lot with my mom. When she's like, baby, when are you coming over? She didn't call me baby. I made that up. Reed, when are you going to come over and hang out with us and show us your babies? I'm like, you know, soon, someday, right? It's hard to nail me down sometimes because something else might come up. Something else better might approach me. Don't tell my mom that. Right? That's how we think sometimes. And some of us, it's learning to make big commitments. It's learning to commit to a person. It's learning to commit to a body, to a family. It's learning to commit to stay in because then we actually have to make sacrifices to be there. Commitment is hard. Some of us, we need the courage to make a big commitment in our life because we have a fear of making commitments. We have a fear of staying in one place, committed to one group or to one person, right? So what is it in your life? What are the pits that you need to take courage in? Maybe it's leaving a broken relationship. I know I've been through this. This is my wife, Mariah. She's amazing. We've been married for 6 years, but she also broke up with me a while back, a couple of times before we were married. Let me reiterate that. It's not like we were separated and back together. Before, back when we were dating, we had a broken relationship, mostly because I wasn't serving the Lord. And she was trying to, and I was trying to pull her away from serving the Lord and spending time with me. So every time GM camp would come up, everybody shout for GM camp, it's coming up. You know, I used to hate GM camp. Well, I never went to it, but she would go to it, come back, and break up with me. So I hated GM camp for that reason. Sometimes that'll happen at GM camp. Might happen tonight, right? Sometimes we have to see when a relationship is broken. And it took her a while, and she broke up with me a couple times because she didn't really want to commit to breaking up. But she needed to because the Lord was speaking to her heart that I was not in the right place and that we were not going down the right path. and that she was struggling in her relationship with him, and I didn't have a relationship with him, and we needed to separate, and we needed to break up. And so that was the hardest thing for us, was actually leaving a broken relationship. Now, it's not always like a boyfriend, girlfriend, but sometimes we are stuck in relationships where somebody is pulling us away from our time with the Lord, from our investment in God. It could just be a best friend, and he's just constantly enticing you and pulling you away, and you have this battle in your mind between wanting to serve Jesus and wanting to be friends with your friend. Right? And so some of us, we need to take the courage to break off that relationship. Right? To separate from it for a while. Could be the hardest thing that you do. But we did that, and it was the best thing for us. And obviously we got married after that. Praise God. She wanted me back, because I actually started serving the Lord. But some of us, we have broken relationships, and that's where we need to take courage and end them. And I'm not saying break up with your family if you don't want to do your chores. Sorry, Josie. Right? That doesn't mean just end every relationship. I'm talking if it's causing you to pull away from your relationship with the Lord. Some of us, it's just forgiving someone. You have bitterness and anger and frustration in your heart, and every time you see that person or hear that person's name, you become angry, you become frustrated at them. Some of us, it's learning to forgive. It's learning to let go, that we have to have the courage to take the step. Now, God does the rest. This isn't your work. This isn't you trying to be better by finding all the ways you can be courageous and just doing them. No, courage is having faith, or taking courage in Him, knowing that He is going to provide it. He is going to walk you through it. But it's you taking the step of courage and going after it. Just like Benaiah saw that pit and went after it. We have to see the pits in our lives and go after those, allowing God to really win the battle for us. So another one is maybe taking the courage to stay. Some of us just want to go. We want to go all around. We want to go travel the world. We want to leave because it's better somewhere else. Some of us, we have to take the courage to stay in a place when it's hard. Stay in a place when it's difficult. Right? Not everybody loves school. But you should stay in it and finish. Because a lot of times God blesses us when we stay in those hard situations. Right? So some of us, we need the courage to stay put, to not just be wanting to be somewhere else, thinking it's going to be better somewhere else, but staying. Again, this is through our relationship with Jesus. We find these things out when we seek God and ask Him, what are the pits in our lives? Right? It's not that you're just randomly trying to find things in your life and going after them. Right? It's seeking God and allowing Him to show you those areas. And hopefully He's revealing those to us tonight. Some of us, it's the courage to keep going when you get rejected. Right? Keep pursuing people when they reject you. Keep pursuing friendships when they push you away. We used to do Young Life work at Golden View a few years back. Mariah and I, you can see it in her face. She loved it. But it's something we felt called to do. And what you do at Young Life is basically you go into the schools and you hang out with the kids. Hang out with them at lunchtime. Hang out with them afterwards. Play basketball. Get to know them. But you can't talk about Jesus. You can't really tell them why you're there. So it can be super awkward. And they can make fun of you. Anybody know junior hires? Anybody a junior hire? They're terrible. Awesome. But can be terrible. I remember being a junior hire. I was terrible. And I remember thinking, going back to that school, because I went to Golden View, going back to that school thinking, God's just up there laughing right now. Because that was me making fun of those kids. Right? So we go to places and we would get rejected. And people would make fun of us. And people would ask us why we're there. And people would call us names, and I won't tell you them. But my wife is amazing, and she kept going, and she was pregnant at the time with Olivia. And the girls there were almost as vicious, probably more vicious than the guys. And they would call her names, they would call her fat. She was pregnant. They didn't care. They were vicious. They would just tear her up. But she kept going back. She kept taking courage. She kept going after them. And guess what? Some of them are pregnant now. What? Just kidding. That's terrible. That's horrible. But for real, some of them did get pregnant and are calling her back because she invested in their lives. Because she made an imprint and an impact in their life. She didn't say what when they called. She loved them. She cared for them. She was a witness to them even when it was difficult. We need to take courage to go back to the people even when they're putting us down, even when they're not receiving you, even when they're rejecting you, whether it be at your school or your work and your family, but you keep going back. Some of us, it's a courage to go back, to get rejected and keep going. Not to say, well, that's it, I'm done. The first time someone makes fun of you, but that you're willing to keep going even when it's difficult. Take courage to be a leader, not a follower, to go against the current, right? When your whole school's not serving Jesus, but you want to, what are you going to do? Do you have the courage to stand for what you believe in? It doesn't mean you have to be a weird Christian and just always talk about Jesus and always judge everybody else. That's wrong. That's not what you're supposed to be as a Christian. Right? But it's living for him and not changing your lifestyle just because they are different. Because your friends are different. Right? Being willing to go against what's normal. Being willing to go against what most people are doing. Right? Jesus talks about us being the light to the darkness. A light in a dark place is a little bit different. It shines, doesn't it? But it also lights up a room, and that's what we're called to be, is people that light up a room because we're courageous enough to be who God has called us to be. Some of us, it's just being vulnerable, just opening our hearts, just sharing with somebody. You never told somebody the struggles that you go through. You never told somebody who you really are, what's really going on in the inside. Some of us, it's just being willing and courageous enough to share with somebody that we trust. Someone that's godly enough to listen and care for you and opening your heart. I got a couple more and then we're going to wrap up here. And some of us, it's taking the courage to make Jesus the Lord of your life. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior and you do not know him actually as Lord, you just think that you're a Christian because you go to church. But there's a difference in actually knowing him as Lord of your life and giving yourself to him. And some of us, it takes that courage. All of us, it took courage to get to that place of knowing, I want to make him Lord. I want to live my life full of him because I know that he died for me. That he's already overcome the world. That he's empowering me. That he's giving me the strength and the courage to step out. Some of us need to just choose to live for him, right? We've already called Jesus our Lord and Savior. We've already gotten saved. But we recently just haven't really lived for him, right? We're recently just living selfishly for ourselves. Living only for what we want to do in the moments we want to do it. And it takes courage to step out and say, God, I want what you want for me. Not what I want for me. I see that I'm living selfishly. I want what you want. It takes courage to take a step of faith. It takes courage to walk out and to see these pits in our lives, these areas that we really need to grow, and wanting him to do a work inside of us. If we want the fullness of God living in us to actually moving through us, it takes us being courageous enough to look at those areas of our life. To want more. To not be satisfied with where we're at, but to want more of him. Man, I want to make an impact in the people around me. I want to make a difference in the people around me. I don't want people to just be the same when they're around me. I want to make a difference. I want to change somebody's heart. I want to sacrifice myself for somebody else. To see them succeed. To see them grow. To see them come to know Jesus. What do we want? Do you want to make an impact in your life? And if you do, it takes taking courage, it takes taking steps of courage, looking at those areas, looking at those pits, and allowing God to be strong. That strength, that personal strength, comes through Jesus. Because Jesus lives inside of you when you come to know him. So finding that strength in you is finding the strength in Jesus. And it's knowing that he already overcame the world. He already overcame your situation. And it's walking in the fullness of him. Taking courage is just putting your eyes on Jesus and allowing him to move. It just takes us acting on it. Cecilia, will you come up? I want us to just take a moment and just respond to God in this. And us to look inside ourselves, look at our areas of our life. Where is God challenging you, challenging us to really grow in, to really take courage in? What are those pits in your life that you've been struggling, that you haven't been looking at, that you haven't been either letting somebody in or showing somebody who you really are? Maybe it's just your relationship with Jesus and you want to take a step of courage to know him greater. Maybe you don't know Jesus and you want to take a big step of courage tonight and come to know him for the first time. I want us to check our hearts and really see where we're truly at and us respond in our own ways to him. So if you'll stand with me. You can respond in your own way. There isn't a right way to respond. But if God is speaking to you and speaking to your heart and challenging you to take courage in an area of your life, I encourage you to do it. Take that step. It's not that difficult. He does most of the work. We are just the ones that are willing to actually step out. And when we do that, God starts to pour out even more on us. He starts to speak to us and encourage us. He starts to put those people around us to empower us, to strengthen us. But we've got to grab a hold of courage tonight and stand for him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are speaking. God, it is your words that are coming out. God, that you are the one speaking to our hearts, challenging and encouraging us to be courageous men and women of God. Father, we don't want to be the same. We want to be more and more like you. And God, we know that takes steps of courage. Day after day, we have to be courageous. We have to be willing to go after you, to seek a deeper level with you, to seek more of you, to open up new friendships, to seek people out, to love them, to care for them, to forgive those who have hurt us, to repent to those who we've hurt. God, speak to our hearts tonight, Father. In your own way, respond to him. In your own way, start to reveal those things and ask him for those things that you need to grow in, those pits in your life that you need to go after and take a hold of. Tell somebody, pray with somebody. Maybe for you, it's the courage to pray over people. Start laying your hands on somebody. Start praying for them. Maybe for you, it's the courage to lay hands of healing over people and believe people for healing. Maybe it's just taking a step of courage of telling somebody where you're really at. Be courageous. Right? Jesus tells us to be courageous, to take courage. Right? That we are called to be men and women of God that are courageous, that seek after him, that seek after more, that aren't okay with just living a mediocre life with Jesus, but that we want everything that he has for us. Right? We want to live a life that is full of him, and that takes us being courageous, being willing to go out into those pits and those areas and see those areas in our life and see our own weaknesses and allow God to be strong in them. Allow God to be strong in you this week. I encourage us all to be looking for opportunities to be courageous. Look for opportunities to allow God to come in. Those areas you haven't showed him, those areas that you haven't opened yourself up to someone else. Be courageous. Be strong. And know God that God is with you. And know that Jesus has overcome the world. He's overcome our situations already, and we can find strength in that. God, we love you. We honor you tonight. God, we want to find courage in you. We want to find strength in you. God, we turn to you tonight, this week, this month, for the rest of our lives, Lord, we want to be more like you. And Father, give us opportunities, show us opportunities to be courageous, to run after you, to seek after you, to see those opportunities and to take hold of them. Lord, we love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love you guys. Be blessed tonight. Have a great week. And we'll see you either Sunday or next Thursday.